out in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 18 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. If you will remain for the reading of God's holy word, and then we shall be seated as we enter into the time of preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 18 through the end of the chapter. This morning, the message is entitled, "You who are in Christ Jesus, boast in the Lord." Boast in the Lord. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside." Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men, for consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty nor many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, so that, just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. O Heavenly Father, we thank you for the giving of your word to us this morning. Already we have been encouraged to see your activity even before the foundations of the world that are unfolding even as we breathe this very moment. Even now, you are in the process here in this place and around the world of bringing in your children into your kingdom. And we who are your children through faith in the Lord Jesus, we do want to boast in you. We want to declare how good and great our wonderful Almighty God is, who is rich in His mercy, who lavishes His love and grace upon those who have faith in His Son. We thank you that you have delivered us from a kingdom of darkness. We thank you that you have delivered us from the day of judgment, and you have brought us into eternal glory. You have brought us into the light of your kingdom. And we praise and magnify you. But, O Lord, let us not be self-deceived. Even during this hour, would you give us the true answer to the question, are we in Christ? Am I in Christ? So as to be assured of these blessings. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. This morning, as we are approaching the Lord's table, it is, as I try to say each time that we do so, it is a table of celebration. It is a table of celebration of what God has done. When we come to this table, those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not magnifying and declaring for the world to hear, "See how good I am." But we are acknowledging that because there is no good in us, we come to this table. We come to this table not to declare how good we are. We come to this table declaring how good God is, and that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His death, there is forgiveness of sins. As we read earlier in Ephesians chapter 1, it's verse 7 there, that Jesus Christ indeed redeemed us through His blood, purchasing for us the forgiveness of our sins. And so we come to this table celebrating that our Lord has been given, and celebrating that our Lord has died on the cross in our place for us, substituting Himself, perfect God, in flesh, on the cross, in our place. We celebrate that. And we celebrate also knowing, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story, that 3 days later He rose from the tomb, and that 40 days after that He ascended into the heaven, and at some day yet to be appointed that we shall see, He shall return for His church. And so we come to this table and we celebrate. We boast in what God has done. And this morning, as we continue to look at this scripture, I'm wanting us to hone in, though we will make mention of the verses prior, but we will hone in on verses 30 and 31. And let me read them again for us. "But by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus." That is the key for each of us, is that question. Am I in Christ Jesus? "Who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And if this is glorious in our sight, then," we can move on to verse 31, "just as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord." The good news of the gospel is not that there is an activity yet to do. The good news of the gospel is an announcement that God has done something. And I hope that we get that clear in our minds. The gospel is not an activity to do something. The good news, the gospel, is that God, it's the announcement that God has done something. He has purchased men and women from every tribe, tongue, and nation to bring to Himself when the days of this earth are over. The announcement is not to do something, but to believe that God has done this in the person of Jesus Christ. This morning, as we're looking at these verses, I want us to see exactly why we are boasting. Why are we boasting in the Lord? And so this morning, if you have your worship guide, we're going to spend much of our time on point one and then quickly on point two and point three. But the first thing that I want us to review as we're looking at why we are boasting is this: those who are in Christ Jesus boast in the Lord because of His blessings in Christ Jesus. Those who are in Christ Jesus boast in the Lord because of His blessings in Christ Jesus. And if I were to send you home now with just that and the rest of the four spaces, I am confident that you could look at 1 Corinthians 1:30 and pick out what those blessings are. Just look at the verse there. And it tells us that in Christ Jesus, He became to us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And so let us look at these for just a moment, each one. Let's look first at the blessing of Christ Jesus being the wisdom from God. Being the wisdom from God. We have looked at this idea already as we've been making our way through John. You may remember that in John chapter 1, there in verse 18, we are reminded that no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him. Now, man from the beginning has tried to understand who God is. Adam and Eve had, if you will, a leg up on us, for they walked with Him and talked with Him. And yet as they had children and they had children and on went the curse and of sin, and then the Tower of Babel, and we were all separated. Man, much in their sin, forgot who the true God is. And in their own wisdom, tried to conjure up remembrances of who this one true God is. And man has come up with some horrible deities left to himself. Even so, left to himself, man has perhaps shrugged his shoulders and said, there is no God. Or the God that is unknowable. And therefore, we cannot know anything for sure about that God. But the Lord Jesus came into this world as God to reveal who God is. This is why Jesus would say, you who long to see the Father, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Everything that we are to know about God, we can see in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, I did not say everything that there is to know about God, we know, but everything that we need to know, we know in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the wisdom of God. This is how we come to know that God is through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And we come to realize that God is a holy God and that Christ has come to be the sin-satisfying payment before God. In Colossians 2:2-3, we are told that Christ Himself is in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do you seek wisdom? Then don't get 3 PhDs. Study Christ. Do you want to excel in knowledge? Then you don't have to worry about winning Jeopardy for 52 straight weeks. Study Christ. Now, do not get me wrong. Those of you in school, please do not go home and say that Pastor Ken told me I didn't have to go to college. I want you to do well. I want you to take God-given brains and glorify them by using them to their fullest capabilities. But if you are truly seeking after wisdom, if you truly want to seek knowledge, then seek the person of Jesus Christ. For He is the very essence of truth. And so let me encourage you this morning that as we come to the Lord's table, and if there is anything that we need to know of God, it is knowable in Christ Jesus. And we have that wisdom as we have Christ, as we are found in Him. But you might say to yourself, well, I can come up with some ideas about God, and I don't need God to tell me about Himself. And there are those who might not use those words. But you try to talk to them about Christ Jesus and you say, well, let me tell you about God, but I need to tell you about Jesus. Oh, that's okay. I don't need Jesus. I know some things about God already. Well, what a fool. How foolish an individual to think that they can know more about God than God has already revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. That's pretty arrogant, isn't it? To think that you could come up on your own wisdom about God, but apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who refuse Jesus this morning, because you have your own ideas of God, according to the verses we've read, you are foolish in the eyes of God. Oh, you may be smart in the eyes of one another. You might be dazzling in some philosophical barrage of words and phrases and ideas. But unless your ideas, unless your phrases, unless your arguments deal squarely with the person of Jesus Christ, your ideas of God are foolishness in the eyes of God, who knows Himself very well and who has revealed Himself in Jesus. There is no saying, I'll have God, but no thank you to Christ. If you say no thank you to Christ, you're saying no thank you to God, and you remain in your ignorance and separated from God. So we come to this table and we boast that if I know anything about God, it's because of Jesus Christ. That's one of the things that you should be saying as you come to this table. If I know anything about God and His mercy and His love and His justice and His wrath, if I know anything about the fact that He is sovereign and in control of all events, even now, it is because of the person of Jesus Christ. And I will take the bread and I will take the cup and I will boast in the Lord, in His wisdom. Though the world may count me as foolish, in the eyes of God, I receive His wisdom in the person of Christ. But that's not the only blessing that we have for those who are in Christ Jesus. Not only do we have wisdom, because if these things are in Christ Jesus and we have faith in Christ and Christ resides in us, then we have the wisdom of God, but we also have the righteousness of God. We have the righteousness of God. Now, this is a judicial term. This is a term that you would find in the courtroom. And this word simply means that you are in right standing before God. You are fully innocent, as if you had never sinned even once. This is a blessing that those in Christ Jesus have. Let me give you some verses that speak to this. In Isaiah 45, verse 24, we are told that only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. There is no righteousness of our own that we work up to convince the judge of judges, the judge of all the universe, that somehow we're okay. The only place where a sinful man and a sinful woman, a sinful young man, a sinful young woman is going to find righteousness is not from within, but from the Lord. So how do I obtain this, what is termed alien righteousness, a righteousness outside of myself? How do I obtain that righteousness then if I am going to be righteous before God? And we are told that it comes by faith. Hear these words, Romans 3, verses 21 through 24. Now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. There is no distinction, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. This is why it is to the praise of the glory of His grace that we sing. It is by grace that we are able to believe and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we believe in Christ, we are found in Christ. And as we are found in Christ Jesus, when God sees us, it is the righteousness of Christ that we wear as a robe. And God does not see the filthy rags of our own unrighteousness, but He sees the royal righteous robe of His Son placed upon us. Do you desire to come before Almighty God and make it past His examination? Oh, the book of Habakkuk says that He cannot even look upon sin. Do you really think He's going to allow you to recreate and lounge and serve in His heaven with your sinfulness? Oh, no, He will not. He will remove you forever and ever and ever. Unless you have the righteousness of Christ upon your lives. And those who are found in Christ Jesus, in faith, believing that what He did on the cross was sufficient for all your sins, past, present, and future. If you are trusting wholly on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, His righteousness is yours. You are now declared right with God. Now let that sink in for a moment. As long as you are pleading the mercy of Jesus, you are seen now as right with God. I don't know about you, that's good news to me. That's good news to me. Because in Christ I am righteous. Not in Christ I was made neutral and a fresh start in my Christian walk. Because what happened probably within an hour or two of that fresh start? I fell away again. I was in sin. So then therefore did I have to disrobe? No. What God does, what He begins in us, He will see through. That robe of faith is fastened by the power of God in us. And even though we may stumble in this life, and even though we may sin, if our eyes are towards the cross, the robe remains. And we remain in right standing before God. Hear me. I am not preaching that you have to be perfect to be able to be righteous. If you were perfect, you would not need Christ. But because none of us are perfect, we all need Christ. And if we will but cling to the cross, we are in right standing before God, even now. And so we come to the table and we boast, not my righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ in me because of the work of the Lord. I will boast in the Lord as I come to this table today. 2 Corinthians 5:21 puts it very succinctly. He made him who knew no sin, speaking of Jesus, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Are you in him this morning? Are you trusting in the work of Jesus alone? Pastor, I'm not. Then hear me. Then don't wait for some sort of song at the end of this service and an invitation to walk an aisle. Right now, do what Jesus says and cry, O Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Right where you are. Trust in Christ and be in right standing with God. And then he goes on. He says, not only is there this blessing of the wisdom that we have, wisdom from God that we have, those who are in Christ Jesus, and righteousness, right standing, then he says, and sanctification. Sanctification. So far we have in Christ Jesus the wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification. Take your finger and just turn over, maybe just one page in your Bible, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at verse 2. We've looked at this verse in the past, and so I'm just going to remind you of a couple of things from this, speaking of the sanctification that we have in Christ. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who are in every place, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Well, what does it mean that I have the sanctification in Christ Jesus? And it means two things. One, it means that you are set apart for holy purposes. And we see this here in verse 2. Who have been sanctified, who have been set apart in Christ Jesus. Those of you who are in Christ Jesus, you are in a category all of your own. You're not white, you're not black. You're not male, you're not female. You're not American, you're not Chinese. You are the sanctified, the blood washed of Christ Jesus. You are the redeemed of God who have faith in Christ Jesus. And you are a part of those who have been set apart for God for all eternity. It is an identity to say that you have the sanctification, that you have sanctification in Christ Jesus. Your identity is now in Christ. You are set apart for holy purposes. Now and for all eternity. And not only is it a matter of identity, but it is also a matter of activity. Here in verse 2, you who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, implies that as we live out this set apartness, it is going to reveal itself in our everyday living. How many of you act like you belong to or under the rule of communist China? How many of you act that way right now? None of you. You know why? That's not your kingdom. You act like proud, independent Americans. You know why? Because that's the kingdom in which you live. Well, guess what? Much over you being an American, you are a member of the kingdom of God. And as such, you are to be living out your life as a citizen of heaven. And as we have Christ Jesus, we have the power to live as citizens of heaven. Matthew Henry writes this on this passage. Where Christ is made righteousness to any soul, he is also made sanctification. He never discharges from the guilt of sin without delivery from the power of it. Righteousness declares us not guilty. Sanctification announces us as citizen of heaven and the power to live as such. Now, that power on certain days seems to us to be weak because we are fighting with sin. But that power is still ours if we will but face the cross, if we will but yield our lives to Christ, if we will but feed upon the strengthening Word of God. That power is ours in abundance, so that we would be able to say, as Paul does later on in this letter, that none of us have an excuse to sin. Each of us, because of Christ in us, has the power to be able to refuse and to flee from sinful living. And yet, I know, for having been your pastor and having the same struggles myself. So let me ask you the question. You hear this idea of having the sanctification of Christ. And you hear, okay, I'm set apart, and Pastor Ken, I'm with you there. I know that I've been stamped and sealed with the Holy Spirit. I'm marked for that great day of redemption. Pastor Ken, that living out every day, I struggle with that. And because I struggle with sin, does that mean I've lost my salvation? It's an honest question. And if you're honest with yourself, you've probably thought of that question a time or two. My answer to you would be this. Be glad you struggle with your sin. It is those who are dead in sin who are unfeeling of their grieving of God. If we were to take a walk over to Dal Murray this morning, just all of us just go on over there, and there is the recent body of one who has been laid aside. And I were to take my fist in your sight, and I were to take it and pound on the chest of that mortal body. How many of you expect that body would say, ouch? Or if I were to take a skewer and go through the meaty portion of the thigh, how many of you would see that cadaver wince at the pain of that needle going through the flesh? How many of you expect that there would be some tear in the eye? None. Why? Because you would say to me, Pastor Ken, it's a dead body. It can't feel anything. And I would say, you're right. And so those who are dead in their sin don't feel their sins either. But those who are alive in Christ and who are being made alive in Christ do feel their struggle with sin and do feel painfully how much it grieves their Father. So are you struggling with your sin? You claim Christ, you're trusting in Christ, and yet you struggle. Be glad, for those are spiritual nerve endings that are firing off at the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Dear child, is that how you're to act? Dear child, is the way you're thinking right now bringing glory to your Father? Dear child, the way you're using your body right now, is that really the best use of the temple of God? Well, that's the Holy Spirit piercing you. And because you feel it, it is evidence of your spiritual aliveness in Christ. Now, because you feel that sin, don't be twisted, as Paul would have to confront in the book of Romans. Don't be twisted to think, well, I'm spiritually alive, and I know God's graceful, and I'll just sin all the more. No. May it never be, Paul would say. Indeed, may we sin as least as possible, knowing that every sin grieves the Holy Spirit. And if we love God with all our hearts and minds and soul and strength, then will we want to grieve as much as possible or as least as possible? As least as possible. So sanctification, right? Well, wisdom of God, anything that we know about God, it's ours in Christ Jesus. Righteousness, no longer guilty before God, that's possible in Christ Jesus. Sanctification, set apart for holy purposes, and power for living out holy purposes in our days, all that is in Christ Jesus. And then he sums up in verse 30, and sort of a catch-all phrase, redemption. I don't want you to necessarily see these all as four separate, neat, tidy packages that are offered, but all of this in Christ Jesus mingling in together. And as we have been made aware of who God is, that He is holy, as we've been made aware of that He is also just and wrathful, and that His wrath rests upon us, as we've been made known, as we've been made to be aware that indeed there is hope in the person of Jesus Christ who was on the cross in our place, and we latch onto Christ, and we latch onto Christ, and we are made to be no longer guilty. We have right standing in the court of God, and that we are set apart for God, sanctified forevermore, and even now given power to live out. We are living in this realm of redemption. We have been carried out of bondage to sin, and now we are slaves to Christ, slaves to righteousness. We are no longer in bondage to the judgment and the wrath of God, but in Christ we have been set free to be the bondservants of the Lord. We have been bought by the purchase of the blood of Christ. We have been bought and brought into this new realm of being. We read earlier in Ephesians 1:17, in Him we have redemption through His blood. We have it already. Those of you who come to this table, boast in the Lord. I am redeemed by the blood and the body and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am no longer a slave to sin. I am no longer in bondage to the evil one. Now I am free to be the bondservant of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And yet, it is a redemption that is also yet to come. It is a redemption that I am no longer in the domain of darkness, but now I am the kingdom of light. But there is a redemption yet to be had. In Ephesians 1:14, which we also read, that the Holy Spirit is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. Speaking of a future day of redemption, when Christ shall come and all shall be made well. When those who are opposed to God and rebellious to God and apathetic to God and numb to God shall be removed from God. They did not want Him in this earth. They shall not have Him in the world to come. But those who love the Lord Jesus Christ and are trusting in Him and living for Him now will live with Him forever perfectly. No more struggling with sin. Always able, always willing to serve God with perfect, glad hearts. There is a day that is coming, and when we come to this table, we take it not only in view of the redemption that is ours in Christ Jesus, that we are living through moment by moment, but we also come to this table and we boast in the Lord for that great day of redemption that is yet to come. We are mindful of the words of Christ Himself, that He would not take of this cup again until He was with His disciples in His Father's kingdom. We look forward to that, and we boast that God is going to make that possible, because He has promised this to be so for all those who are in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So those who are in Christ Jesus, just to review and make sure it's clear with you, those who are in Christ Jesus have wisdom from God. And have, even right now, righteousness, a not guilty stamp, right standing before God, have sanctification and redemption now and promised to us. Which, let me pause and make it very clear of this as well. That those who are not in Christ, how are we in Christ? We are in Christ by faith, not by our works, lest any man should boast in his works, but by grace, which is a gift of God. If I am in Christ, it is because my faith is in the work of Christ alone. He has done everything for my salvation. Those not in Christ are still somehow trying to get by in their own goodness. Or they are trying to have God, but not Christ. Because they know if they begin to follow Christ, He has certain demands well written in His Word that they must begin to obey. Now, those who are not in Christ need to hear these words. That those not in Christ remain ignorant. Remain ignorant. You have no true idea of God and no true idea of your standing before God. For if you did, you would come under Christ. those not in Christ remain ignorant and remain guilty before God. The only plea deal that God will ever accept is one that you make on this side of death as you plead the blood of Christ. Without Christ, you remain guilty before God, and His wrath rests upon you. Therefore, those not in Christ remain ignorant, whereas those in Christ have the wisdom from God. Those not in Christ are guilty before God, whereas those in Christ are found to be not guilty, found to be right standing with God. Those not in Christ are polluted in their sins, whereas those who are in Christ are cleansed and holy. Those not in Christ remain set apart for judgment, whereas those in Christ are set apart for everlasting life with God. Those not in Christ remain in bondage to sin, and those in Christ have been set free. This is enough to come to the Lord's table with and to boast in the Lord. Because of the Lord, I have the wisdom of God. Because of the Lord, I am found to be righteous. Because of the Lord, I am sanctified and set apart for His purposes. Because of the Lord, I am redeemed. But there's even more in this verse, if you will look at it, that we should boast in the Lord. And so this comes to our second point. Those who are in Christ Jesus boast in the Lord because of His blessings in Christ Jesus. Those who are in Christ Jesus boast in the Lord because of His sending Christ Jesus. Well, Pastor Ken, where do you see that God sent His Son? Well, let's look at verse 30 here. But by His doing, speaking of God, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us. Now let's think about this for a moment. Did the eternal Son of God, was He ever a time when He was not wisdom? Well, He is. Remember Proverbs chapter 8, the personification of wisdom there as the second person of the Trinity. Well, there was never a time where Christ wasn't wisdom and then had to become wisdom for Himself. Was there ever a time when the Son of God was ever guilty in the eyes of the Father for sin? No, He was never guilty. He was always not guilty. He was always righteousness of God. Was there ever a time when the Son of God had to be made to be holy? No, He was always holy. The Son of God there in Isaiah 6, part of the Lord God Almighty receiving the triumvirate, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The Son of God there in the moment. There was never a moment when Christ wasn't the wisdom of God or wasn't the righteousness of God or wasn't sanctification. And there was never a moment that He was not also the agent of our redemption. Because before the foundation of the world began, the Father knew He was going to have to send His Son to redeem fallen men and fallen women. So if Christ was all these things already, how are we going to know this? Except that the Father sent Him to become to us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. The Word became flesh at the predetermined plan of God the Father. The Father sending the Son. The Son obeying the plan of the Father. The Son becoming wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And the Spirit convincing us that all of this is true. And so from the beginning to the end, it is the triune work of God to bring us to a moment when we are able to boast in the Lord for all His blessings in Christ Jesus. And so when we come to this table, we boast in the Lord, not only for these blessings, but for the even the sending of His Son. For if God had not sent His Son, we would all remain in our sins. And think about that. God was not beholden to any of us that He had to do it. None of us are so rich. None of us are so pretty. None of us are so kind or good that God was under any obligation to any of us that He sent His Son. But by and in His free grace, He sent His Son to be our wisdom, to be our righteousness, to be our sanctification, to be our redemption. When I come to the table, I must boast in the Lord that from first to last, it is all for His praise. It is all His glory. Which brings us to the third point. I told you these last two were going to go quickly. Those who are in Christ Jesus boast in the Lord Jesus because of His blessings in Christ Jesus. Those who are in Christ Jesus boast in the Lord because of His sending Christ Jesus. Third, those who are in Christ Jesus boast in the Lord because of His, and you can choose the word you want to put in here, but I've chosen positioning us in Christ Jesus. Those who are in Christ Jesus boast in the Lord because of His positioning us in Christ Jesus. The Bible uses words like election and choosing and foreknowing. In the book of Acts, it talks about appointing to eternal life. In 1 Peter, He has caused us to be born again. But what is this word here in verse 30? But by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus. Can I fully, finally, explain that perfectly to you? I cannot. But I know this, that if I am in Christ Jesus, it is the doing of God. It is the doing of God. As we read in John chapter 1, there in verse 13, not by my own blood, not by the will of my own flesh, not the will of a husband, but by the will of God, I was made one to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe on His name, and to be counted as a child of God. In verse 30, we come to this table and we boast because all of this is God's doing. And do you know why God had to do it that way? Because if there was just a little bit that was dependent on us, we would be tempted to come to this table and say, I was pretty smart. I made a pretty good deal. I'm better than those who did not see their need for Christ. It's because of my good decision-making process that I stand here at the table today. But when we come to this table and we see all that God has done for us, when we see that God, even before the foundation of the world, had things in plan to send His Son, when we stand at this table and we see that it is by His doing that I am in Christ Jesus, then this is why I must boast in the Lord. Because there's no one else to boast in, is there? I can't boast in some preacher. I can't boast in my mother or my father. I can't boast in a sibling. I can't boast in some author of a book I read. I must boast in the Lord because all of that fell in the activity of His doing to put me into Christ Jesus. Well then, Pastor Ken, are you saying that I'm not supposed to repent and believe? Of course you are. The Bible says that. But I'm telling you at the upfront, don't be so proud that you're doing it. Because even your repenting and your believing is God at work in you to bring you to Himself. It is the process where Jesus says, the Father drawing us to Himself. Don't strut like a peacock in your salvation. But joyfully, humbly boast in what God has done. When you come to this table, it is not about you. It is about God and what He has done in you as you come to this table. So I ask you again, are you in Christ Jesus? When you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, does your heart well up with joy because of what He has done? Because He was the one to hang on the cross and take the full wrath of God for all your sins? Is there some element of wonder in your heart for that? Then boast in the Lord. Do you think of the Lord Jesus and you're humbled? You're thinking of even how you got up this morning and how you browbeat the family to get out the door and how you bickered and argued. And even now as you think about Christ, oh Lord, that's not the way You want Your children to live. Then boast in the Lord and His work of grace that you should believe in Jesus Christ. Are you beginning to feel birth pangs? Are you beginning to feel those spiritual contractions? There's a holy God I've got to answer to. Are you feeling the beginning of birth pangs and contractions? I am desperate if I've got to stand before a holy God. Are you beginning to feel the birth pangs, the contractions of I am lost and without hope? Then rejoice. For this is the work of God in you, to make you to see that indeed in and of yourself you are hopeless. But look to Jesus, who has done all that is necessary for you to be counted in right standing before God. Rejoice that though there is nothing you can offer to God, rejoice that Christ has done it all already and that you trust in Him. And as a result of that faith, you yield your life to God for whatever He desires to do. This morning, as we come to the table, it is a table for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so I want us to spend some time reflecting. The book of 1 Corinthians tells us that we should have a time of self-examination. And during this time of self-examination, I think the first question we need to be asking ourselves, am I in Christ Jesus? And if the answer is yes, be ready to boast, but there's more. Be ready to boast. If you're not in Christ Jesus yet, the Bible says today can be the day of your rescue. Today is the day of your deliverance. Today is the day of your salvation. If you will but fully trust in the work of Christ, you shall be saved. Those of us who are in Christ Jesus, we make it through that first question. I do believe. I do grieve when I sin. I do rejoice when holiness is worked out in me. Then begin to think, can I come to the table in a worthy manner? And what that means is, are you caught up to date with God in confessing your sins to Him? Saying the same thing about your life this past week and month that God would say about your past week, past month? Are you harboring any pet sins? Have you rationalized some pet sins away? We're to come, as much as we know, with holy hearts and holy hands. So have some time to examine, have God examine your hearts. And it may be that one of the things that needs to be cleared up is not just this relationship between you and the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It may be that a relationship in here needs to be mended before you come to this table. And so I encourage you, as soon as the Lord brings that to your mind, get up, move to that person, and ask them, can the two of you go somewhere and pray before you come to the table? So this morning, let us have a time of quietness, of silent meditation, of the Lord searching our hearts, to be examined by Him, by His Word, before we come to the table. Let us pray.